In the holy name of Jesus, amen. When you fast, Jesus says, do not be like the hypocrites. When, not if you fast. This is from Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. Everyone's favorite good teachings from Jesus that they've never read. Because once you read it, you realize that Jesus isn't a really nice teacher. He's more like an unyielding taskmaster. Sure, the Beatitudes are nice, and there could be some nice things that you can learn from them. But once Jesus starts talking about the law and warns his disciples not to relax the law even by one little tiny dot, you start to think about Jesus in a slightly different light. So to avoid relaxing the law, Jesus launches into a sixfold intensification of the law. You have heard that it was said, Jesus will say, but I say to you, that leaves you and everyone else slack-jawed and stupefied that anyone could be such a legalist, such a hard-nosed dictator with the commandments. And that culminates in the standard of just how well you need to obey the commandments when Jesus says, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, prayer you can get behind. That's one of the disciplines that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, when you pray, pray like this. And then he proceeds to tell us the Lord's Prayer. Prayer you can get behind. That sounds like a spiritual work. Giving to the poor, well, maybe you could get behind that too, because the poor need something. But fasting, fasting's just weird. It seems too physical to be spiritual. It's too concerned with what you eat or don't eat, I guess you could say, to be a Christian activity. Weight Watcher clients? Yep, got it. But Christians? Eh, maybe not. Not Lutheran Christians, anyway. Not people liberated from the law, basking in the glorious freedom of the gospel. No, we think Christian stuff is about prayer. We think it's about singing the right hymns. We think it's about giving and being nice. And yet Jesus says, when you fast. Fasting, oddly enough, involves hunger. Stumbling out of Cracker Barrel or Denny's after 2.5 hours of cramming fried codfish and french fries into your mouth is the opposite of fasting. Fasting means abstaining, not just from diet sodas or chocolate bars for 40 days, but from food. Properly done, fasting leaves your belly aching for another serving, for any serving. This is why fasting seems too physical. What does a rumbling belly have to do with your piety, with your Christian life and devotion? Behold the man. Jesus, the God-man. Pontius Pilate uttered those words, behold the man, as he trotted Jesus out before a jeering crowd, freshly flogged, wearing a diadem of thorns designed to inflict suffering and a faux royal robe to clothe him. And when Pontius Pilate said those famous words, behold the man, he preached a profound sermon that he probably didn't even realize he was giving. And taking that advice, we start a series this Lenten season about beholding the man. We talk about the disciplines of Lent. We'll talk about what our God-man, Jesus, has done for us. In Jesus, God is man. The Word has become flesh like you. God is your brother. The one begotten of the Father from all eternity and born of the Virgin Mary. And your Lord, just like you, has skin and bones and teeth and hair and blood vessels and lymph nodes and yes, even an epiglottis. That's that thing that hangs in the back of your throat. Behold the man. He eats. He breathes. He walks. He sleeps. He prays. He weeps. He thirsts. He dies. He's buried. He rises again. He ascends. He sits. And he will come again. And yet he's completely human and completely divine. Two perfect natures, one indivisible person. He has fingerprints and DNA, and he is God. Jesus, your brother. Unlike you, though, he has no sin. His human nature is perfect. You know this about Jesus. He's unspoiled by Adam's rebellion in the garden, But because of sin, we are what you might say subhuman. It's not how we were supposed to be in the beginning. We're less than what God had intended us to be. But not Jesus. He was tempted in every way, just as you and I are, yet was without sin. Jesus is as human can be, as human as he intended to make you in the beginning, and as he intends to make you in the resurrection. So again, why fasting? Jesus fasted. This is not a faux fasting, a feasting on fried fish or giving up some sort of pet vice for the season. For 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus ate nothing. Matthew and Luke understatedly say that at the end of it all, Jesus was hungry. You don't say. That shouldn't be noteworthy. It shouldn't be noteworthy to say that God hasn't eaten for 40 days. Eating is not something that we attribute to God. But behold the man. God in human flesh who needs to eat in order to live. And now behold the man who has not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. 960 hours or 57,600 minutes. And you were thinking the time since your last snack was getting a little long. Behold the man, the God made flesh with lips and teeth and tongue and taste buds that have not savored a morsel for 40 days. He has an esophagus, a stomach, an intestine, and he's been empty and aching for 40 days. But he does it for you. The first Adam sinned by eating. And so Jesus, the second Adam, will fast before enduring an onslaught of temptation, withstanding everyone because he holds fast to the word of God and lives on it. Behold the man who fasts and who assumes his disciples will also fast and will also live on the word of God. Like fasting, Lent is weird. Who has time and patience for a season of repentance, for some subdued joy, for bottling up our alleluias until we make it to Easter morning? Who wants to explain to their Wednesday evening bridge club that they won't be around because there's church services for 6 weeks? Who wants to give away more money to the poor from their already penny-pinched budget? Who wants to devote more time for prayer from their way too busy schedule? Lent just seems weird. Lent, like fasting, is also oddly physical. In fact, the Germans called this penitential season before Easter Fastenzeit. You got to say it really aggressively. Literally a fasting time. The discipline of Lent, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving to the poor are designed to guard you against the age-old temptation of trying to be too spiritual. Jesus brings you back to earth for a little bit. The temptation to make everything about spiritual work and nothing about the things in the flesh is as old as creation. When the serpent seduced Adam and Eve in the garden to give to spiritual desire to be like God, so that they would know good and evil, over their physical prohibition against eating from that one tree, they set the pattern for the rest of us who want to prefer the spiritual over the material. That's to say that Adam and Eve didn't think the physical eating would hurt them. Once God settled the Israelites in the Promised Land, they abandoned the very physical worship of God. The very physical worship that demanded sacrifices in the temple or the tabernacle alone. For the more spiritual, less precise worship of Baal and Asherah, a kind of figure it out as you go or when it pleases you type of worship. Nicodemus, when he confronts Jesus, cracks a joke that true religion could never be so physical as to involve rebirth. When he looks at Jesus and asks, how is it possible for a man to be born again? And the Sadducees concocted that ridiculous story about the woman who married one of seven brothers to prove that the physical resurrection could not be possible. And our friends and our children today talk about being spiritual but not religious, as if there's a limit to how far we're willing to go to be good Christians. And sadly, I know it to be true for me, we give our amen when friends tell us, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. All that is an attempt to substitute safer spiritual platitudes for real physical fleshly reality. And it's all sin. The Lenten disciplines of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving are a counter to our hyper-spiritual pretensions. God isn't like that. The incarnation has been in his mind from before the first words of creation. So behold the man, Jesus, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell bodily. You who have both a body and a soul and the complete inability to use it properly, as your Creator intended, have hope. Because God became flesh. God is like this. A man. Your brother. Behold the man. Jesus fasted for you. He prayed for you. And he gave it all for you. He's a God who can eat, who needs to eat, so that he can abstain from eating. That he can endure the pangs of hunger and yet provide for you. For our tendency to prefer the spiritual over the physical and a fake spirituality that leads us to indulge the flesh with its desires, both good and evil. Jesus endured temptation and never sinned so that he could be the man to redeem all other men. The Creator who would ransom his creatures. God who could give his life for sinners like us. So fast freely. We fast to discipline and chasten our flesh. We fast so that we learn to control our belly, so that we can learn to discipline the other parts of our body as well. We fast and let the rumbling of hunger teach us that our belly is not our God. We pray. We pray extra, especially in the season of Lent, so until we realize that our schedule is not our God, that our time is not our own, and that our daily bread doesn't come from work, at least from the work of our own hands, but from our Heavenly Father who gives us every blessing. And we give alms, we give tithes, we give money to the church and offerings until we know that in our gut that the money we give is not the source of our security or happiness. Behold the man who fasts, who prays and gives alms perfectly for you. His rumbling stomach, his hunger pangs are your comfort in temptation. His flesh is your hope. He succeeds where you fail. Behold the man who has come to redeem you, that you may be in him, and him in you. Amen.